hear the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, it says, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river," that's the Euphrates River, "in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Amen. That's the word of God. Now, that what we have just sung and the other things that we have sung tonight relate a little bit to the passage of Scripture here in Joshua. The occasion is a renewing of the covenant. Okay? This is the end of the book of Joshua. Of course, Joshua is the book of the conquest of the promised land, and so at this point, the people have begun to settle into their inheritance. Joshua is now an old man. He see that he is getting ready to retire, shall we say, to retire off the planet. And he gathers the people, and they, verse 1 says, they present themselves before God. And he, you see how he goes through and recites this narrative of their history, them, their forefathers, the acts of God on their behalf. You know, where did we come from? Look where God has brought us safely to. And do you remember what the people are supposed to say? I think it's in Deuteronomy. You know, when you bring the first fruits of the land, you're supposed to testify, our father Abraham, our father Jacob, was a wandering Aramean about to perish, you know, on the other side of the Euphrates, serving a pagan god. Okay, but here we are today. We are freed from our bonds. We are settled down in a land of milk and honey. And that is where we are today. And Joshua charges them. And here at the very tag end of the year is a suitable time for us to do the same sort of thing. We have a sense tonight with the turning over of the calendar that the past has passed away. Okay, it is in the books. And in it, as we've testified tonight, the Lord has acted on our behalf. We have lived and moved and had our being in Him all this time. That much is over and done. And now, as Joshua says, you know, here is what has happened, and now I have a charge for you about the future. So now what about the future? The purpose of his reciting all of this history, you see, is to highlight this people's privilege. Notice if you look off down through the narrative, which goes from 2 down to 13, how essentially Joshua's theme is that there have been insiders and there have been outsiders. Okay, there are those who have been shown special favor by the Lord, and that is you people. And then there's the rest of people. Okay, you see in verse 2, the first one, I guess, is Nahor. That's Abraham's brother. God made a covenant with Abraham, not with his brother, right? The scripture says to Abraham and to his seed the promises were given, not to Nahor and to his seed. Am I right? Verse 3, he says, I gave Abraham Isaac. I gave him Isaac. Well, if I recall correctly, there were several other sons, were there not? There's Ishmael, and then there's a bunch more that he had later in life, but where are they in this narrative? Their names don't appear here, do they? Okay, I gave Abraham Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. Okay, well, as far as Esau goes, I gave him his territory, I gave him a place to live, and you know the scripture says that God appoints times and places for the peoples to live, that's fine. But the covenant, okay, the promises went to Jacob, not to Esau, okay? So Jacob is the insider, if you please. Esau is the outsider. Then God fought, and the next thing he says, God fought for the children of Israel, and he fought against the people of Egypt, okay? Verses 5 through 7 talks about the time in Egypt. And after that, verse 8, okay, I put down the Amorites, and then there was Balak and Moab, and I frustrated their plans against you. And then Balaam the prophet, okay, verse 9, 10, and then there was Jericho, and seven whole nations that I displaced from before you, okay? They are not my people. You are my people, Israel, whom I have chosen. Okay, all of these great works of God have been on your behalf, Joshua says, and here you are today having come into your rest. So verse 14 says, now, therefore, you know, do I even need to finish the sentence, really? You know, why does it even need to be said? After all that God has done on your behalf, do I need to even have to charge you, okay? Life is not over yet. Okay, a year is over. this is a good stopping point for us. It's a good reflecting point. Certainly the Lord has done great things for us. He has brought us safe this far. He has done marvelous things. We have had sins forgiven. Our names written in heaven. An inheritance stored up for us for the age to come. Not only that, but battles fought and won. Hills climbed. Bills paid. Projects completed. Blessings received. Okay, food, clothing, shelter, family. We have come into our rest. But just because the battles of the past are safely in the past, you know, just because Joshua is an old man now and he's kind of retired from his charge as general, does that mean that the people just sort of skate from now until the horizon? No, not at all, okay? Just because the Lord has done good to you in the past up till now doesn't mean that he has no further expectations of you with regard to the future. And that needs to be taken very seriously. Life is just, it's not over yet, okay? I assume we're all going to get back to the Lord's business tomorrow. There is a next generation to bring up in the admonition of the Lord. Yeah. There is our own pilgrimage that we have to faithfully complete. There are new young believers that we need to disciple in the ways of the Lord. There is still an enemy on the prowl, is there not? And he's always planning some new angle of attack. There is our own natural tendency towards complacency, to say, whew, you know, now that that's over, I guess we can just be done now, and sometimes laziness. Joshua gives these people a charge because he knows the heart of man. You know, when you have something to fight for, you know, we're having a problem, we really have to pray. So, you know, get all the prayer warriors out. And when there's a prize to be won or something, you know, you have you're on your toes, you've got your spiritual disciplines, you've got your sword sharp, right? You're ready to fight. Okay, when the conflict is over, then, you know, you let yourself go flabby. You know, life starts to get peaceful and you kind of forget about all of the discipline that you had when you were still trying to win the prize. Okay, and gratitude tends to creep in, and you sort of start getting absorbed in your own world. You let down your guard. So there's a charge. Verse 14, fear the Lord. Serve him, not in fakery, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Why? Because all those things from 2 to 13, he did them for you. He did them specifically for you to bless you, which he did not have to do. It is by his grace that you have made it this far. It is by his grace that you are not still wallowing in the depths of slavery. And you can see from, you know, reading in between the lines here, things have already started to become unanchored, right? Their love for God has already started to cool. They're flirting with other gods already. Okay? Otherwise, why does he have to say, put them away? Why do you have them? You hear the people say, well, of course we will serve the Lord. 16 to 18, they're kind of protesting a little bit. Yeah, certainly it was him who, we know, it wasn't some other God who brought us out of Egypt and brought us through the wilderness. We know what ourselves and our parents and our grandparents went through to get from Egypt to here. So sure, he's our God. Joshua kind of says, are you sure you're sure that Jehovah is your God? You know, people say, far be it from the Lord that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Well, then why are they in your house? I think I have a few doubts here, he says. I don't think you quite get who he is. I don't think you quite understand the idea of how holy he is, how seriously he intends for you to take this relationship between him and you forever. Hey, not just for a year, for a month, for, you know, now until you get old. He expects to have your exclusive love and devotion. So that's why he says in verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord. He is holy. He is jealous. And you are trifling with him. And we Christians, we say, Jesus is first in our lives. Oh, of course he's our Lord. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, it's not like we believe in some other Lord. But are you sure you are taking who he is seriously enough? He's the one who, the scripture says, he has eyes like a flame of fire. He commands the angels. We just read in Job, he orders the lightning to strike. Okay, this is the God that we serve, the eternal God. Do you remember what we read in Job? These big, scary storms that make us feel so small and vulnerable. The scripture says, that's just the edges of his ways. They should serve us as a reminder of the immensity of God. He is the one who judges the world. He sends blessing to one place. He corrects in another place. He's the one who gives life, and he's the one who ordains the day of death. Both things are in his power. Our hearts ought to tremble before him. Job says, who assigned him his way? Nobody assigned him his way. He does what he pleases, and he is not going to settle for half our affection. He wants the whole thing. Remember to magnify his work. That is what Elihu said in Job. Joshua says, I'm not so sure you've got this completely settled in your mind, who this God is that you serve. Praise him and worship him and fear him all of your days. I can only make up my mind for myself, understand? And I'm the head of my household, and you know, as far as that goes, it's me and my house will serve the Lord. You each have to make a decision for yourself. Are you going to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth? Are you going to fear him, who is the God over all gods? He's the commander of the heavenly armies. Are you going to serve him? We sang a few songs that said we will. Hey, wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Lord, please help me to make a complete sacrifice. Okay, the words are there. Is the will there to match the words? Okay, and if so, then what are all these other trinkets I see in your tents? You know, are you sure you're not having a love affair with the television? You know, God wants you to know his will and know his mind through his word. And what is the proportion of time that you give to that versus to the boob tube? Really, honestly, how do they compare? And Facebook and devices and photo sharing and all this idle chit-chat, you know, how does that stuff stack up against the amount of time that we spend in spiritual service. And by service, I mean things like, you know, visiting a brother or sister in the hospital, writing them a thinking of you note when they're sick or they're lonely or they've lost someone near to them, something. How about trying to share your faith in Jesus with somebody? I mean, we love to talk, right? I mean, we talk about cats. We talk about movies, we talk about football. Will we talk about Jesus with people? Are you interested in talking about the hope of the age to come with people? How the message of Jesus himself, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Okay. Do you actually see yourself as a participant in the Great Commission? Okay, the work of Jesus that he left for us to do, do you know the gospel well enough to actually lead somebody to Jesus? Are you ready to give the reason for the hope that you have? Okay, what about prayer? Do you spend very much time just letting God know that you honor him, that you worship him, that you're thankful to him for all of the blessings he has rained down into your life, that you want to see his will done on earth as it is in heaven, okay, that you care for his other children. Another thing, you know, how much proportionally do you worry about your physical condition as opposed to the condition of your spirit? People get very upset and worried when their bodies are sick. What about the health of your soul? Is that fit? Is that healthy? Which one's more important to you? You know, what would Joshua say? You know, I'm not sure if you guys have your priorities. And what about money? How much money did you spend on decorating your house and on Christmas gifts and on vacation? You know, don't get me wrong. the Lord's, it's your money, and it is your money to decide what you want to do with. But if you're going to say, we will serve the Lord, then serve the Lord, okay? That's all. It's Him that gives it to you. He doesn't have to. It's all by His grace. How many Sundays this year did you make an excuse not to be in His house? How many? Isn't participating in the life of His assembly important to you? Isn't that service? Isn't that your reasonable service to the Lord? Again, it's your time to do with as you decide. But if you're going to say, we will serve the Lord, then serve the Lord. It's Him who gave that day to you. He doesn't have to. Didn't He give you a church family to be the channel of His blessing in your life? Are you interacting with those people? Do you hold that blessing in high regard or low regard? Do you consider the singing of God's praises something important? The corporate prayers of God's people, the assembled corporate prayers, is that of small value? Or does it just not matter whether you're there or not? Okay. Oh, of course Jesus is Lord. You know, which other Lord would we serve? People say. Well, so then shouldn't we be more zealous to serve Him? If it seems undesirable to you to serve the Lord, then choose who you want to serve. Okay? You can serve the things that other people want to go serve. You know, the things that you used to serve before you became a Christian. You have your choice. You can serve the TV. You can serve the pets. You can serve the computer. You can serve the grandchildren. You can serve the gym, serve the house, serve your hobby, serve your wallet. Okay? If you think those things will bring you more fulfillment than the Lord Jehovah, go ahead. Go serve them. But you should have been able to see enough in your Christian walk by now to know that those, serving those gods will get you nowhere. There is only one true God, and that is the Lord. Serve Him, be His people, and be with His people. Okay? So people say, we'll serve the Lord, we'll serve the Lord. Well, here we are. We are assembled in the presence of God. Make the commitment. Put away the other gods. Don't just say we'll serve the Lord and then go and forsake Him. Okay? He has done you good up till now, but Joshua says if you forsake Him, He will turn and He will take it all away. So we charge each other as Christians to recommit to be the Lord's people. We're going to wear His name on our foreheads, so to speak. Put away the frivolous things. Okay, we don't you think we really do have too many of them in our lives? And that puts us in danger of slipping into a rut, slipping into spiritual adultery. The scripture from Job said, remember to magnify His work. He is the great God, far above all other gods. We serve Him. We belong to Him. He bought us with His Son's blood. We're the insiders, right? Aren't we? By God's grace, we are not the outsiders. We are the insiders. We don't want to be the outsiders. We don't want to live the kind of life that the outsiders live. I thought we had enough of that. The Lord has given you a city you did not build. Okay? A city whose builder and maker is Him. Okay? He built it. But He has called us to service. His service. We labor for Him. Okay? It still seems that there are a lot of people who are in church to be served and not to serve. That's just not how it goes. All right, the times are evil. Even though the past is in the record books, we still have to have a vision for the future. We have a vision for ourselves as disciples and for First Baptist Church. We want some urgency, okay? We want a hunger and thirst to see people who are on the outside coming on to the inside, people growing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. The charge laid on us is to make disciples, not just grow, okay? Sow the seed. Our church has money needs. We have manpower needs. We have leadership needs. The church members have to be inviting those people in who need to be saved. We all have to do the work of interacting and urging people to come into the kingdom. Remember, we're the insiders. We are God's privileged people. We have to identify ourselves in our own minds as trustees of the message of Jesus and of each other. We are caretakers of each other. So in the coming weeks, I too would like to do what Joshua did. You know, take the heads. You know, take the people, and let's present ourselves to God, and have a look down the path of the future, and consider what values, what vision, what foundation are we going to? What's going to motivate our living and doing? Not just at First Baptist, but me as a disciple. Okay, what is our vision of a vibrant, caring, useful to God church family? And we will ask him to establish the work of our hands. That's why Psalm 90, establish the work of our hands. By saying that, we are saying that we will try. Okay, we will try. That there is going to be work of our hands, right? Don't not try. Don't say you're going to serve the Lord and then not serve the Lord. So we will try. Establish the work of our hands. We are going to try together. It's our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Not just my hands, our hands. And then we are going to trust him. We're going to try. We're going to try together. And we're going to trust him for the result. Okay? Establish the work of our hands for us. This is actually his work. We're going to do it. It's his work. Okay? And the people said, okay, we'll serve him. And Joshua said, all right, you're witnesses against yourselves. Your words are witnesses. You said it. And they set up a rock and everything to witness against them. We have the bread and the wine. That's our witness. It's our memorial. Let that stand as a memorial to us that we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the year to come and for the rest of our lives. Let's pray, and then we'll sing and bless one another in the name of the Lord. Dear Father, I pray that your words will sink into our ears and take hold of us by the heart. We magnify your name, Lord. We do fear you and acknowledge fully that our salvation is all of you. You conceived it. You brought it to pass. You preached the word to us, and we have heard it, and you have given us life in the name of your Son. And so the only reason we belong to you, Father, is because you wanted to have us, and you have made us alive. And we are glad tonight that we belong to you. And we do, Father, express our desire to be found faithful. Let us not be distracted by the other gods of the world, Lord. Help us to come apart and to be a special people who are the Lord Jesus Christ's own brothers and sisters, the ones that love him, the ones that hope in him. Dear Father, I pray for each of my friends here tonight that you would draw us close to yourself. Your born again ones, Lord, I ask that you would give them a new zeal for serving you. And if there are those who do not belong to you, Lord, may they find you wonderful and beautiful and almighty and sufficient. And may they come to you, Lord God, and know the joy of finding rest in your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Lord, as we depart, and bless one another in the name of the Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.